Welcome back, everybody, to the Beyond the School podcast. I'm back with Mel Hart, our instructional specialist here at Wallace Grade School. Oh, Mel.
Hi.
We're back. It's been a little while. It's been a few months. We've had summer break. Lots of exciting stuff going on there. I'm trying to think. Our last podcast was STEM, right? We're talking about STEM.
With Mrs. Evola.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So lots of really cool stuff in that realm and that area looking ahead. But we got some cool stuff to share. We got some exciting new things that are happening, some changes. Things are going to look a little bit different this coming school year. We kind of want our parents to have an idea of what's going on, what things are going to look like, and maybe a little bit of why they're going to look that way. Right.
Well, and you just mentioned one of the big ones, too, that if you did not listen to the last podcast, go back and listen to it. Sarah Evola went through all of the STEM updates. That's one of the most exciting things that we have going on. She's actually here in the building. A lot of our teachers are in and out of the building right now, putting in that extra time. But she's here today doing a PD, a professional development, just learning more about the curriculum and different thing components of it, how to implement some really exciting things.
Very neat. It's not a VR PD, is it?
It is not.
Yeah, we had one of those last year. It was really neat.
I think
we talked about it on one of the podcasts.
Yes.
But awesome. Yeah, really cool stuff happening in the STEM realm. And we're also increasing our STEM programming to fifth grade.
We are.
In the past, it's been sixth through eighth grade. Mm-hmm. We are bumping that down to fifth grade, so that's exciting this coming year. So kind of getting into the coming school year, back that up a little bit, kind of talking last school year and really the school years prior to that. We talk about team planning, articulation times for our teachers. We've implemented articulation schedule where our teams are able to meet and kind of talk about how things are going and what we can do to improve our programming for our students.
Yes.
Because that's what it's all about. So I don't know if you want to kind of walk through a little bit what that looked like this past year. I know you were one of the people spearheading that initiative.
Yes. And, you know, as we've mentioned before, change is not just an overnight thing. It takes
time.
It takes a lot of thought and, weighing the pros and cons and really looking at what we're doing well and in areas we can improve in.
Sure.
And that was the main focus of our articulation meetings this year. We had weekly articulation meetings. Grade level teachers met. We included our special ed teachers in those meetings and Julie Kirkpatrick, our social worker as well. So we could really take a good look at our programs and look at supporting our students as a whole student, not just academically. Based on those articulation meetings, we we're going to make some pretty exciting changes for the upcoming school year. We looked at curriculum. We looked at our ELA curriculum, and we've been making some small changes to our ELA curriculum over the past year and a half, I would say. We're really jumping into the science of reading and making sure what we're providing for our students is research-based and best practice. Our teachers have spent a whole lot of time really targeting those skills and making sure that our students are getting what they need for their foundational skills.
Yeah.
We're also looking at a change in our math curriculum in grades 3 through 8. We've updated our math curriculum, and we're going to change the structure a little bit. We're increasing the time our 3rd through 5th graders.
Which is huge.
It's huge. Yeah. That's going to make a really big difference, and that's going to allow us to support our students not only with more intervention support, but some enrichment support as well. So that's one of the things I'm most excited to see implemented this year. But speaking of that, in order to change the amount of time we're providing for math, we really had to make that big campus structure change.
Sure. And a little bit of what that looks like when essentially we're going to have 3 campuses. Mm-hmm. That's not like cactus, is it? Like cacti? Right.
I don't think so. Right. No.
I'm just kidding. Nope. So we look at our 3 campuses. You have your K-2 campus, your primary level. That's going to look similar to what it has in the past. There's going to be homeroom, self-contained classrooms. So the students will stay with one teacher throughout the day, with the exception of specials, obviously, PE and music and such. Then we'll have, this is where we start seeing some changes. Mm-hmm. You have your intermediate campus, which is our 3-5 campus. That's where things are going to look a little bit different. We have seen it here. Fourth grade has ran this structure in the past, but essentially it's subject-based. So there still are two teachers, but one teacher essentially is reading, ELA, social studies. The other teacher would be like math and science. Mm-hmm. And the students will switch teachers throughout the day, right?
Yes.
And then our 6-8 campus would be that junior high. That's going to be similar to what it's been in the past. It will run on a period schedule, so the students will rotate teachers throughout the day on that period schedule. So fifth grade's making a big switch,
because
fifth grade this past year ran the junior high period schedule. Mm-hmm. They're going to be pivoting to that 3-5 campus, doing that subject area based, swapping between the two teachers. So I guess, do you want to dive in a little bit? What are the benefits of doing it this way? Like, what do parents need to know about why this is important?
Well, first of all, the benefits to the teachers are obviously going to trickle on down to the students. So our teachers are going to be able to communicate more. They're going to be able to support each other within that campus structure. And we've already started those conversations. Yeah. We've met numerous times, and we have a lot of professional development time slotted in for this coming year. So our teachers can meet within their campuses and talk about curriculum. They can talk about RTI support, special ed support.
Yeah.
They will be able to really make sure the students are getting what they need in terms of all areas of support, social, emotional, academic. We're going to give teachers that time and ability to really structure their conversations and support each other, which in turn is going to support our students.
Yeah, and we're just building that structure within our school. Yes. I think if to kind of look this from a bigger perspective, like if parents want to look at it this way, when we look at our school, when you look at preschool through eighth grade, we're one building, we're one school, we're one district. That's a lot. That's a lot going on at once. And when we talk about our professional development initiatives and articulation initiatives and how our teams work together in the building, we can't just put all our teachers in a room and expect it to be productive, because what one teacher's doing versus what another teacher's doing in the building is so drastically different
because of
the range that we have in our building. So really, we're taking a big building, and we're getting bigger. You know, our enrollment continues to grow. We continue to grow as a district. We're taking a really big building, and we're trying to make smaller, in this case, we're calling them campuses. We're trying to make smaller campuses where those teachers can really hone in on what they're doing and what, you know, the skills and abilities of their specific age range of kids.
And this idea came from conversations we had with teachers
throughout
the year.
Yeah, going back to what we talked about when we started here, that articulation time and team meetings.
We were looking at areas where we could improve.
Yeah.
And through those conversations, this idea came up. Some of, you know, how can we better support our students? And this is a way that we feel like we can better support our students by developing these campuses.
Yeah. And we, so on that note, when we talk about how we better support our students, a term that we kind of coined in the building, not that other schools have never used it, but as a term called flex. So we have what we call flex support. Traditionally, may have heard it referred to as like RTI support, response to intervention. We kind of look at it much more broadly than just that. That's why we termed it flex. We want to be flexible with the supports we provide. And that's not only those, you know, intervention and remedial supports through RTI program, but also special education supports as well. So we, over the last couple of years, we have developed and implemented, and you've been, you know, essential in that, is our flex support throughout the building.
Yes.
And that, like I mentioned, ties directly in with special education support, which in the past, when it comes to special education support, we have our programs, which would be developmental preschool, STARS programming, and Rising STARS. But in addition to that, we've had resource support through the special education teacher. And we've had two of those across the building, which was kindergarten through fourth grade was one teacher, fifth grade through eighth grade was one teacher. Now, with this restructure into our campus structure, we are actually adding an additional resource teacher. So each campus will have their own resource teacher, which is huge.
Huge. And the amount of support that we can now provide. Yes.
So not only now do we have the articulation time, the team planning time, the professional development time, now that special education resource support is also wrapped into each of those campuses individually.
And that will be essential in helping modify work and making sure while students are in the classroom, they're receiving what they need as well to Absolutely. Help them be successful. And I'm really excited for that change.
Oh, 100%.
Adding another adult in the room mm-hmm. who is trained to make sure that the students are, you know, receiving what they need to be successful is going to make a huge impact, not just in our special ed students, but with all of our students.
100%.
And our teachers as well.
Sure.
It's a great deal of support for those teachers also.
Absolutely. It has been something as we have continued to grow as a school. It's one of those things that I think everyone knew would be on the horizon at some point, and that we're to that point, and we're very excited about rolling it out. Now, in addition to all that that's going on, we also have spent a lot of time really talking about specifically like curriculum and programming. Like we mentioned STEM, we're doing a ton of stuff revamping our STEM programming. We have updates coming in math for 3rd through 8th grade. We have new programming and resources we're implementing this coming year for math. In addition to that, we have a curriculum evaluation and adoption cycle that we have implemented, which is essentially a 6-year cycle, which takes all 6 core academic areas like reading, ELA, math, science, social studies, non-core subjects like music, PE, art, and things like that, and essentially creates a cycle where we reevaluate those at minimum every 6 years. We hit those, all those core subject areas to essentially to ensure in the future we're always staying up to date, mm-hmm. you know, and we're not falling behind like so many schools tend to do, where when you look at your history books, like, oh, it was published in 1999.
Right.
You know, that's like all schools fall into
that. That evaluation process is
right.
key.
Right. Because math and science tend to be the ones mm-hmm. that, or not math and science, excuse me, math and reading. ELA or literacy mm-hmm. tend to be the ones that get hit the most. And then we kind of forget about some of those other core subject areas too. So implementing that cycle, and it's essentially, it's a 6-year cycle to complete it. But each subject area runs through a 3-year span. First year would be like evaluation, alignment. Second year would be looking into adoption, you know, if you need to change those materials. And year 3 would be implementation, professional development. Mm-hmm. And every one of those core subject areas goes through that cycle. So we're excited about that rolling out as well.
Yes.
So lots to go on that front. In addition to that, we have some new faces joining our team.
We do. Yeah. We have quite a few new faces this year.
Yeah, which we are very excited about. Our team is growing and mm-hmm. expanding, and we're getting new, fresh new faces. So we can start. Let's see. Let's start.
So, you know, we can go back just a little bit.
Yeah.
We mentioned that we're adding that new resource position.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, that opened up Erica Van Duzer is going to be our 3rd through 5th grade resource teacher supporting that campus, which
and
is
she was exciting. Previously our Rising Stars.
Rising Stars. So that teacher. Opened up that Rising Stars position, and we have hired a teacher, Molly McClendon. I think she's going to go by Mrs. Mack.
Oh, okay. Another Mrs. Mack.
Another Mrs. Mack. She was recently married.
Yeah.
And she is coming to us with a couple years of experience already.
Yep. We are very excited to have her on board. In addition, replacing some retirements and such, we have Christine Armstrong mm-hmm. is going to be taking over what was Peggy Miller's position, that 5th grade language arts,
social studies.
And again, that position looks a little bit different now with the campus structure, but taking that spot. So we're excited to have Mrs. Armstrong on board. And then we have taking Kathy Furco's position. We have Kate Caputo is going to be joining us. She's going to be, with the restructure, it looks a little different than what Mrs. Furco did. Mrs. Caputo will teach 6th through 8th grade math.
Yes.
So excited to have her on board. She's got a full caseload for sure.
She does.
She's going to have a lot going on, 6th through 8th. She also teaches pre-algebra and algebra, yeah, too.
There, Mrs. Armstrong and Mrs. Caputo are coming with experience as well.
Yes.
We're
yes.
very excited. We feel like they're going to be exceptional additions to yes. our staff.
Very excited to have yes. both of them. And then we have Miss Stacy Caputo departed. She was one of our speech pathologists. She moved for starting her new family. Mm-hmm. And she's moving and replacing her. We have Miss Rachel Ramirez is joining our team.
Correct.
She's also experienced. We're very excited to have her as one yes. of our two speech language pathologists. Excited to have her as well.
Yes.
So new faces. We got new programming, we got new curriculum, we got new structures, and in addition to that, we got other new stuff.
Yeah, some new sports.
Yeah, new activities for kids. You know, really at that junior high level, we start talking about, you know, providing students those opportunities to try different things, find mm-hmm. out what their niche is, what they like doing. And we're excited that we have two new activities that are starting this fall. They've actually already started. Mm-hmm. We have cross country.
I'm so excited for
And that's kind of your wheelhouse.
It is. I'm a former runner, cross country runner. Yeah. So cross country is such a great sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's a team sport.
Yep.
Adding it at this age mm-hmm. is fantastic. It really yeah. gives kids the opportunity to see if it's something they'd be interested in high
100%.
School. It helps them to stay in shape physically, mentally. Yeah. It pushes you to yeah. be a mentally tougher person yeah. as well. Just saying.
It definitely seems like the cross country's definitely built momentum, I think, across the board.
It has.
I know our high schools in our community,
there's
definitely
have grown.
Some big involvement in cross country, and I think yes. it's trickling down to our kids. And really this came about some students that were interested in it. You know, and parents came forward, you know, kind of inquiring. We took it to our athletic advisory committee to get their feedback. They were very supportive of the idea. We took it to the school board, and they were very supportive of the idea. And here we are. Now
how
we
many,
got it.
How many students do we have?
I think we have 12 right now.
Wow, that's
yeah.
a great
For
number.
For year one, that's wonderful.
That's a great number.
Yes, we are excited about that. Another new activity, we've kind of dabbled in this one the past few years, but we now have our own golf team.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the last few years, we have allowed students to participate in the IESA sectional, but we did not have a team, we did not have a home course. Now we've partnered with Dayton Ridge Golf Course, which is right in our community. Mm-hmm. That is our home course. We have 12 students out for golf this
well.
Year. They've been out there practicing for the last few weeks. I think their first meet is actually coming up next week already. Well before school starts.
It's another. Both sports are activities that you can take along with you your whole life. You know, golf yeah. is one sport that it's great to develop.
Yeah.
At this age and yep. take it with you, high school, college, and beyond.
Sure. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. So those two new activities, and we still have softball and baseball and soccer and girls basketball all firing up right here at the start of the school year. So there is just a ton of
it's
stuff
a
going
busy
on.
Place.
Yeah. We're hoping this year to get our robotics, our Lego First League robotics team back in competition this year. Last few years, just because of the shutdown with COVID and whatnot, we haven't been back to competition. Hoping to get that rolling again this year. So there's just a ton of stuff going on, mm-hmm. a ton of stuff. So.
And how can everybody stay up with all the changes and, right, you do some weekly.
Yes. Yeah, obviously we do this podcast Correct. To keep our parents and community informed with what's going on behind the scenes, mm-hmm. kind of a little bit at school. But you can, we put out weekly update videos, and we're going to try to get more short form videos out via social media this coming year as well. So be on the lookout for that stuff.
You send out emails. There's yep. all kinds of ways to make
all
sure
sorts
you're...
of stuff to stay in the loop with what's going on. So we no doubt have an exciting school year ahead of us. We're excited for the kids to come back just a few more weeks, and we're back in action. So
I can't wait. It's an exciting time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. So for everybody that made it all the way till the end, thank you very much for tuning in. We hope you learned a little bit about what we're excited about this coming school year. Check us out on the next episode.
Yep. Sounds good.